Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. This is number 2023-28 for those who keep track. And of course, my goodness, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and I'm here to say it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton, and come to think of it, it's another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. Glad to be with you folks again, and just so you guys know, those who know and even those who don't know, Cher and I are the co-founders of our Thriving Unity Ministry, and our name is the Unity Center for UniversalProsperity.org, and we spell universal, Y-O-Universal. Because it's about your human happiness and spiritual growth.
And we always like to remind people that you can find us very easily at ucfyp.org. ucfyp.org. Come read our articles and sign up for our Monday Musings if you're not already getting it.
Yeah, and that Monday Musings is a powerhouse. I really enjoy it every week.
Thank you.
So my website is paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find my Absolute Word, which is my weekly blog, as well as my calendar. And there's other things there that I update from time to time, but not very frequently. And of course, MR2 is about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, pseudoscience, and psionics. P-S-I, psionics. So we're going to be looking at an article found in Medium, and it was by Andy Murphy, and the title is entitled Carl Jung's Winning Formula in Life. And we should note that this was first published in Mind Cafe, a subset of Medium, on October 20th, 2022. And Cher, you are taking it away.
I am, because we thought this was really interesting. We're big fans of Carl Jung, and this article takes quotes and ideas from Jung's philosophy and applies them to now as we can use them in a practical way. And of course, we don't agree with everything the author says in terms of his interpretation, but that's what makes this so much fun. And just as a reminder for folks, we wanted to make sure everybody's on the same page with who we're talking about. So Carl Jung, if I want to say it with a German accent, forgive me, anybody who knows German out there. I think that's pretty close. Carl Jung was actually a Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst who founded analytical psychology. And he was originally a student of Freud, but then they parted ways because they had different belief systems. And Bill can chime in here because he studied him a good bit also. Among the central concepts of analytical psychology is individuation, which is the lifelong psychological process of differentiation of the self out of the individual's conscious and unconscious elements. I know that's a mouthful, but a lot of you are familiar with that term, individuation, and it did come from Carl Jung.
And just so you know, for those of you who don't know Carl, Carl never got old because he was always young.
Oh, and I was going, okay, I'm going there. I don't know about Carl Jung, but I'm into being young.
Could I add here on a practical note that Jung also created some of the best known psychological concepts. So see how many of these words you know. Synchronicity. Archetypal phenomena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's three times fast.
I know. I thought it was just going to be archetypes. And then as I was looking at my notes, it's archetypical. Mm-hmm. The collective unconscious, we've heard of that. The psychological complex and extroversion and introversion, those two terms, all of that came out of the work of Carl Jung. Yeah. And interestingly, he was also an artist, craftsman, builder, and prolific writer, which I didn't know that until I was just boning up on this for today. And many of his works were not published until after his death, and some remain unpublished, kind of like Fillmore.
Yeah, so that's just the way of things. And I just want to do a promotion of Bill. Carl Jung may have thought of all those things, but they don't even come close to all the Billisms that we
do. Yay, that's sweet.
Okay, so we should get going here.
Yes, yes. So right off the bat from the article, we had some questions about the very first sentence that the author wrote before he gets into Jung's quotes. The first sentence says, Carl Jung knew that for life to be beautiful, it needed to be whole. Okay, guys, go for it.
Well, so my thing was, is that I think this gets clarified, but a person reading it would interpret it in the through the lens of their definition of whole. And if a person is paralyzed or an amputee, they may not think of themselves as whole. And so they are wondering why life can't be beautiful for them.
Yeah. And this wholeness, as Paul's indicating, the definition of wholeness, what does that mean? And it means different things to different people.
Yeah.
And also just the whole idea that, do I have to be whole, however I define it, in order for my life to be beautiful? Or can it be beautiful in the process of becoming?
And I think people know we lean towards, I can be beautiful now.
Right.
Exactly.
And to be honest, from what we've studied with Carl Jung, we believe that's how he approached it as well. That's really what his analytical psychology was all about. So the author goes on to say, but for his life to be whole, he first had to accept and love all the facets of himself, the light and shadow, conscious and unconscious, chaos and order.
Yeah. So there we're talking about a complete different level of what whole means.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And me really accepting who we are.
I call it accepting the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Yes. And the case in point, when you think about current research of the universe, a materialistic view of the universe isn't whole because it doesn't include what Paul mentioned earlier, the cyberse, which is the psychic ethereal universe, which is there as well. Our planets, matter itself only takes up about 5% of the universe. So you can imagine what all the rest comprises. And in order to understand our universe, we have to consider both the material and the immaterial.
So the last sentence of this little piece of introduction is, this, of course, creates a fabulous paradox in life.
And so it's really funny. I don't think of it as being paradoxical.
Really? I thought that was a cool phrase. Fabulous paradox.
Fabulous paradox in life. It's a keeper.
Well, when you think about it, paradox, that's two doctors, the three of us, like a tridox.
And
we should define paradox for folks. It's a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that when investigated or explained, may prove to be well-founded or true.
Ah,
mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why I say, well, then it's not a paradox.
I guess the paradox is to be whole, we have to appreciate the differences in us. And so it's like, well, can I appreciate the differences and be whole if I have differences? And he uses that all to lead into the first quote from Carl Jung, which is, only the paradox comes anywhere near to comprehending the fullness of life.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah. I can too. It's.
And he goes on to say, and this is another quote, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
That's one I really liked. Or how it was meant to be. Or it's in divine order, or all of those things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And making the unconscious conscious, our belief is we do that by questioning unquestioned answers and being willing to allow into our conscious awareness things that we may think we're rejecting and don't even want to listen to. And yet that is what brings up what's going on in the unconscious.
And there's a question I've been asking too about unconsciousness. Is there really such a thing as the unconscious? For me, it's just subconscious, because there have been enough research out there now when people are having an operation, for example, and they're up near the ceiling watching themselves on the operating table, their consciousness is outside the body. So it's not unconscious from that standpoint.
Yeah. So I think we're dealing with some definition and terms that we have sorted out distinct from Carl Jung. Unconscious for me is it's what I'm not aware of. Put it, I'm unconscious of that. It's something I'm not aware of. And so I'm with Bill. The subconscious phase of mine is the things that I am not conscious of. So I'm unconscious of them. And we agree, though, that we need to bring them into awareness. And Cher mentioned a couple ways. Another way is also noticing when something you do or I do is out of character. That'll usually mean there's something going on. And of course, let's remember dreams. Dreams can help us bring into conscious awareness of those beliefs that are in the subconscious realm.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And I love the last part of that quote, which sometimes gets lost. It will direct your life and you will call it fate. And as Paul was intimating when we brought the quote up, we have so many phrases that are just so normal in our vocabulary where we don't recognize that we are in charge of what's happening. It's not just some whim out there or some being out there that's causing it. But if we don't understand that, then we just stay in that place where our fate is in control.
Yes. Yeah, fate would be God, Mother Nature, anything other than something that we're going to take responsibility for.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. And hopefully people are beginning to see, and with the next quote, you'll see it even more, how much of what we believe really does go back to a lot of the research that Carl Jung did, that it stems from that. And of course, he studied other things that led him to believe it. But may I go up to the next quote?
Please.
Yeah, the next quote that this author shares is, quote, "I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become." Anybody think that sounds familiar?
Yeah, it does sound familiar. I would agree with that. I've said it this way. I am not what happened to me. I am how I responded.
Yes. We've said that something similar around.
Yeah. And the term we use is our response ableness.
Yes.
That
determines what we are accomplish.
We got to be upfront and acknowledge that a lot of people seem to believe they are what happened to me. And then that's a victim consciousness, isn't it?
Actually, that what you just said is where I was going to go with your four levels of consciousness. And this might be a good time to just remind people what those four levels are, because I think that's really powerful.
Sure. So I don't know if there's more levels. This is a simple understanding of levels of consciousness. There's the victim consciousness. That's where a person thinks everything is happening to them. There's victor consciousness. That's where a person realizes their personal power and they have power. So we would say, by me. Then there's vessel consciousness, which are things happen through me. That's where you hear things like, that came from God through me or came through me from God or something like that. And then, of course, there's verity consciousness where we realize we are the divine. We are human and we are the ones in charge and we are into radical self-responsibility. Now, those can look like a stepladder, but really victim and vessel go together because in victim, someone outside is causing us to do something or feel something. In vessel, it's God, something good is outside doing something. I just thought, you could also be the devil. The devil made me do it.
The devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Right. And then victor has to do with personal power and verity has to do with universal power.
Yeah.
Love it. I just think that's such a simple way to put it together and package it that makes it easy to realize where we are.
Well, what I like about that packaging by Paul is Cher and I have done, and I'm sure Paul has too, a lot of research on what consciousness means, and there's still no agreed upon definition of consciousness or levels of consciousness, but those four particular categories that Paul come up with pretty much describe it.
I think it does describe it. And I'll be honest, I may have gotten that from somebody. I don't know.
But heard it from you.
Yeah, you heard it from me. Yep.
No, we give you the credit, but I like it because the V's, the all four V's, it makes it easy to remember. That's a good memory peg.
Yeah.
And to recognize, because you start realizing, what do I look like when I'm in victim?
Yeah.
What do I look like when I'm in each of those? And what are my phrases I use that are triggers to remind me I'm there? That's a way people can use that more than just a model out there. This is a very practical way you can work on yourself and get better.
A person can also ask, how do I feel when I'm victim? Mm-hmm. And that's both a feeling nature as well as, where do I feel that in my body?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's,
because that can be a clue. In fact, for me, often I am now aware of a bodily response before I'm really conscious that I've just gotten into victim. And and I think that speaks to what we're talking about here, the unconscious. Really, what we're calling the subconscious mind is in play.
And what Paul's alluding to, because we're bringing in the body and the feeling, is wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're definitely into wholeness.
And listening, paying attention to your body and learning, because your body's always talking to you and giving you information, but we have to know how to process that information. It's just like if somebody says something to us, but they're speaking a language we don't know, they could have the most brilliant thing to share, but if we don't understand their language, we miss it.
Yes, yes. And to put this in another framework, there are those four functions of consciousness, which are thinking, feeling, sensing, and intuiting. And the one we're talking about here in our body is sensing. We not only have receptors to sense things beyond our body, but we have interoception. We have sense organs within our body that sends information to our brain and, of course, our amygdala and all of that. And we're off and running again, aren't we?
Yeah, but it's so powerful. And again, it just shows how interconnected everything we talk about really is. It's hard to pull any one thing apart because we're definitely, it's hard not to keep going and talking about
different. I know, this is another one of those short articles that, friends, we're going to be doing this for a few sessions or a few weeks. So stick with us. I hope our reminders are helpful. And of course, it's now time for us to pivot to the Absolute Word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. This comes from Sunday, August 13th, 2023. The word is excitement. And I'm excited because the editor of the Daily Word, who is a friend of mine, Reverend Teresa Burton, is choosing some new words, and excitement is a great word. And my affirmation is, I create excitement in my life. I create excitement in my life. Each new day, the sun rises on a world full of wonders. I spark my interest and kindle my excitement in response to the magnificence of the natural world, the many fascinating things that are to learn, and the many displays of creativity around me. When I shrink from life, when my interest in exploration wanes, I may lose my zeal and passion. Then I remember the power of zeal is an aspect of my innate divinity. To regain my excitement, I become more proactive in my life. I break out of comfortable habits and routines. I zealously try new things and meet new people. If I feel intimidated, I remind myself that I am fully divine and fully human. Principle and law are everywhere available for my use. As my interest grows, so does my excitement. I create excitement in my life. And I am excited you've been listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Goodbye, friends.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying, wow, I am so excited. And we just love doing this with you. And thank you for listening, everybody.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton. And to use Paul's Paulism, the three of us zealously invite you to create your own excitement in your life.